Hello, this is Jeff Wine with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Key Realty. If you are considering a move to or within the Blue Water area, please reach out to discuss your housing needs. Call 810-650-6255. Again, that is 810-650-6255. Thank you.
Good morning and welcome back. We are here this morning with a dear friend of mine, Jim Frank, who has quite a lovely career. He was in the Army, which I always just really have a lot of respect for anyone who has served in the Army. Both of my brothers served, and my dad was 25 years in the Coast Guard. And
wow.
So I'm a military family advocate. He's also been in education for 38 years. He is still a professor at SC4 since 1999.
Yep.
Long
since
time.
1999.
That's when you came back to the area, correct?
Originally, I'm from Wisconsin.
Okay.
Back to the Great Lakes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Back to the Great Lakes. I know that you were an advocate for all kinds of clean water policy in Wisconsin, and you've participated in lots of petition drives to curb the WMDs, and yep. you have had an astute career, I think. And I'm really excited that you're here today because we're going to talk about just the excitement around the 250th celebration of our country and what that means to be here in a free nation. We have a fabulous constitution that governs who we are as a people and as a nation.
Exactly.
I love the opening of the Constitution. Do you care if I read it real quick?
No, please go ahead.
So
I have a copy of it.
The very
right here
opening
on my phone.
Of the Constitution says, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America." And that founded our country 250 years ago, right?
The Constitution was approved in over the course of a year in the 1787, 1788. The Declaration of Independence was 1776, and I guess that's what we're celebrating.
That's
our
what 250th. We celebrate on the 4th of July, yeah. The Declaration of Independence.
And we both remember the 200th.
I absolutely remember
in 1976.
Yes, so. The huge parades and
certainly
just, you saw American flags absolutely everywhere.
Yeah.
So how do you think that the 200 compares to the 250th? What's going on in terms of the celebration?
Well, as far as the celebration goes, there have been events going on around the country, but to my recollection, I don't know if it's your recollection, it seemed the 200th in 1976 seemed to be more widespread. I remember going to Fort Necessity in Pennsylvania where George Washington lost his first battle, and there were all sorts of, you know, posters and things of that sort, as well as, you know, members of the U.S. Park Service that were there, looking at this as, you know, one of those things that even though he lost, he kind of won. So, I mean, it's kind of an interesting historical moment. You know, sometimes to be a good general in the military, you have to lose a battle or two. But nevertheless, right, it seems to me that it does not seem to be as woven into the fabric of everyday life as it was in 1976.
Well, there certainly feels like the country is very divisive right now.
It was in 76, too.
Because it was in 76.
Just 2 years after
Nixon
resigned.
And Vietnam. Nixon and all of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, our country has been probably aggressive and divisive since the very beginning, right? That's why we're here, because we were a bunch of feisty people who left where we were and wanted to start something better.
Yeah.
And that's really, truly the goal, I think, of the Constitution, of the Declaration of Independence. It's really about forming a more perfect union, forming a more perfect nation, right? That is the goal.
Right. And, you know, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution are both oriented towards allowing people to express their views. And no matter how much they may disagree, right, those views are protected. And we have to find a way to live together in a more perfect union, as you just pointed out.
Absolutely. You know, the First Amendment only works if everyone gets to speak.
And yes.
if you're trying to quiet the side that you don't agree with, then that's not First Amendment rights. Everyone has, you know, I don't have to agree with your opinion, but no. I do have to honor the fact that you have a right to your opinion.
Certainly. And, you know, one of the interesting things about both documents, whether we're talking about the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution, is what we're looking at is we're coming out of an age in the Enlightenment of absolute monarchs, whether we're talking about Louis XVI, whether we're talking about King George III, we're talking about absolutism. We're talking about all the power concentrated in one office. And when we look at the social contract that John Locke and Jean-Jacques Rousseau spoke about, we're looking at how power is actually dispersed and how power is shared and how that's allocated fairly. So when you look at our Constitution, we see our government is separated into three co-equal branches of government. We have the Congress, Supreme Court, and the presidents. And so, or the executive, right? And those are all co-equal branches of government. And so the idea of dividing power up into a number of different realms of responsibility is really one of the most important things that we see in our Constitution and is really a pushback against, you know, absolute monarchy.
Well, and I think with not just with government, but with any organization,
yeah,
having power or responsibility spread out among various leaders is really what brings us balance, right? It's what brings yeah. different sides to the table. It's what brings different opinions to the table, because one person, one idea, one opinion is never going to represent everyone in a country of, you know, hundreds of millions of people.
Well, yeah. And I mean, it's interesting, you know, politics and our political organizations have been sort of poor mouthed the last 40 years, when in fact, you know, if we look at all of the founders of our nation, they believed in politics, right? They believed that being a politician and serving in the government was an honorable thing to do. And they had violent, and let me not say violent, but they had sharp disagreements about any of a number of issues that you can even see in like the you know, commentary of someone like Alexander Hamilton or James Madison. But I think one of the interesting things is in popular culture, in a TV series like Succession, we're not talking about power sharing. We're talking about struggles for power. Or if we watch The Sopranos, we're looking at someone who's, you know, an absolutist in charge of things. And so in our popular culture, it seems to become popular to do these sorts of things. But at the corporate level, we see something that's not very much like what's in the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. Now, of course, some corporations are a lot more equitable in the way they distribute power. Employee-owned corporations, for instance, achieve that, right? But there are a fair number of corporations that are operated kind of like absolute monarchies.
Right. Yeah, and it ends up being that that separation of the haves and the have-nots get bigger and bigger as
it
that,
certainly
as
has
that
been
expands,
the case.
Right? So, you know, one of the things that we get to do and we get to celebrate, and one of the things I love around the 4th of July is the reminder that in our Constitution, in our Declaration of Independence, we're given the opportunity to have a voice, to have
correct.
Our opinion matter, and that happens when we vote, right?
Mm-hmm.
So voting is coming up. Midterms are coming up. We have local elections coming up.
We've got
county commissioners and city council and all kinds of people running for local elections, which is very exciting to be engaged on a local level. What are some of the things that people should be aware of in terms of being registered or deadlines, things to look for?
First of all, the Secretary of State has a great website when it comes to registering to vote. And you can actually check your registration there as well. I encourage everybody to contact their township or city or village clerk or even the county clerk to see if you're registered to vote. And if you're not, I would go and do that as soon as possible. Our county clerk, Angie Waters, and her office, like Cara Denial, they do a great job. I have served as a poll challenger. I've watched the county canvas. I've visited number of townships in St. Clair County. And I can say that as far as the management of elections in St. Clair County, they're done great. Everything is really excellently done. I've also served as a poll challenger at Huntington Place in Detroit and have seen that very thing go on there as well. Excuse me. I would do that. The county has a great website. You go to St. Clair County Elections, and you'll find out the deadlines for, you know, the various steps in the process of the election. July 21st is the deadline to apply for those offices as a candidate that will only be elected in November. The deadline's already passed for our August 4th primary, which is coming up in just a few weeks. And, you know, virtually every seat in Michigan is up for election this year. Now, there are some, like our county commission, which really won't be up for re-election until 2 years from now, though we do have a district, District 5, where we have an election going on to formally replace the commissioner who left that district a little over a year ago.
So if you want to celebrate your independence, you want to celebrate being American, yeah, being in our country, you know, having the opportunities that we have here, one of the ways you do that is you voice your opinion with your vote. Make sure no matter who you are voting for, what side of the aisle you are on, the most important thing is to exercise that right, get out and vote.
That's why they call it a civic duty.
Civic duty. Jim, thank you so much for being here.
Sure.
On the new 105.5 WPHM, I'm Margo Romero. We'll be right back.